Good afternoon, everyone, and thank you for the wonderful introduction. I didn't edit so many strategic things, but good to know I do all that. So my name is Monideepa Bhattacharya Becerra, really long name, so have fun pronouncing it. My topic is acculturation and smoking behavior among Asian Americans, and I am looking at disaggregated groups, specifically sixth group. I have no disclosure in the last 12 months to declare, so I'll move on to the next one. Cardiovascular diseases, as you know, are the leading causes of death and morbidity in the United States. However, current data continue to say that Asian Americans have a lower rate of cardiovascular disease. And in fact, if you look at Office of Minority Health, it specifically states that Asians are 50% less likely to die from a heart disease as compared to the standard population. The problem with such data is Asian Americans are a diverse group, and they're collapsed in one homogeneous group called Asian Americans, and this data could be extremely misleading. In fact, when you look at Asian Indians alone, they're twice as likely to die as compared to Koreans to be told that they have a heart disease. When looking at Filipinos and Asian Indians, they also have the highest odds of heart disease, while Chinese have the lowest compared to the non-Hispanic white population. In fact, Filipinos and Asian Indians also have the highest rate of obesity and hypertension and stroke and such. Looking at health behaviors and how that's related to these health outcomes is critical. In fact, the World Health Organization promotes healthy diet and physical activity and lowering binge drinking and smoking behavior. So understanding behaviors is key. I love that this thing moves by itself. I don't have to do anything, so I'm just going to step back. So smoking, why am I looking at specifically smoking? Smoking is associated with cardiovascular disease. In fact, it increases the rate of hypertension, stroke, inflammatory state, poor wound healing. And I'm specifically looking at acculturation, and that's really the process by which immigrants adapt to the host culture, the norms. And most of the studies has been done among the Latino population, looking at how acculturation affects their smoking behavior. Limited studies do exist among Asian American subgroups, and that was really the goal of the study. So what was the whole purpose? To look at how acculturation, again, how immigrants adapt to the host nation, and look at six specific Asian American subgroup and how that relates to smoking behavior. So about a little over 10,000 participants, that's a population estimate about 1.5 million, and I used the California Health Interview public access data from 2001 to 2011. It is the largest state health survey. It's given every 2 years, and I've detailed some of the inclusion. For example, it's random dial, includes cell phones starting 2007 as well, and includes several Asian American languages. Not all, but several as well. So just to give you a little prevalence data, they asked if you smoked 100 cigarettes, that's the standard national norm to ask, and among those were they still currently smoking. So this is only looking at current smoking prevalence by gender among the six group. If you notice, they're fairly diverse. I've highlighted the highest and the lowest. Among males, about 31% of Vietnamese reported being current smokers, while the lowest was about 12% among South Asian. Among females, the highest as well was among Koreans, about 12%, and the lowest being among Vietnamese at 1.6%. So this really does highlight Asian Americans are not one homogeneous group. There's diversity in the prevalence of even current smoking behavior across males and females. The rest of the results are really focused on males only because the sample size for females were limited. So after adjusting for social demographic variables, BMI, health status, and insurance, and everything else, we really looked at English proficiency and country of birth as the two proxy measures of acculturation. Among Chinese American, in fact, being English proficient, so speaking very well, or only English or well English, was associated with lower odds of smoking, and even being born in the United States. For example, 50% lower odds if you're Chinese and spoke English, were English proficient, or 44% lower odds if you're born in the United States, showing in this case acculturation is a positive factor. Now moving on to Japanese, Korean, and Vietnamese, only among Koreans and Vietnamese we notice a significant outcome with English language proficiency, and nothing with country of birth. Again, the similar trend where English language proficiency was associated with lower odds among Koreans by 44%, among Vietnamese by about 52%. So again, in this case, acculturation is a positive factor. Now, we did not notice for South Asians, for example, and Filipinos and Japanese. One reason could be most of the Japanese in the United States have been U.S. born, and maybe there's not enough diversity to really look into acculturation. South Asians and Filipinos, most also speak English in their own country, so maybe looking at English is not really the appropriate measure to look at. Some of the other factors that we noticed were significant was age. In fact, being 65 years or older was associated with lower odds among every single Asian American group. But not being a college graduate, that's bachelor's of arts or science, was associated with double the odds of being a Korean smoker among specific Asian Americans, in this case Chinese, Korean, and Vietnamese. And not being currently insured was also associated with increased odds of current smoking among Filipinos and Vietnamese. And that could be for several reasons. Having health insurance gives you access to healthcare professionals who are more likely to promote smoking cessation. So therefore, not having insurance is why we could have seen these results as well. Now, why is it important? First, we noticed the smoking prevalence was significantly diverse among the Asian American population, and we need data that's disaggregated by subgroups and not as Asian Americans as a whole population. We also noticed that in some cases, Chinese, Koreans, and Vietnamese, acculturation is a significant factor. In fact, it's a positive factor. Now, that does not mean we suddenly have to make everyone English proficient, that's our answer. What that really shows is immigrant populations, those who are not English proficient, that's where the tailored, targeted health education measures need to go towards. Since age was associated with lower odds, maybe it's a younger population that we need to target. Similarly, since not having a college degree was related to higher odds of current smoking, those with less than college degrees should be our targeted. So once again, Asian Americans are not one major group that everyone gets a one-size-fits-all smoking cessation programs, but needs to be targeted to specific subgroups. We also noticed that, therefore, smoking such similar prevalence, the diversity and prevalence shows that targeted health education measures are important. And looking at whether if you lived in the country long enough and you're still born in another country, but have lived here, say, 10, 15, 20 years, is that somehow related to smoking? In our study, we did not look at years in the U.S. because we really focus on country of birth and language proficiency. If you focus only among immigrant Asian Americans, I keep changing on myself. And if you'd only focus on Asian Americans who were born outside the United States, does the years lived in the United States change how the prevalence of smoking is? That could be related because they're getting access to healthcare professionals, therefore smoking cessation programs, or maybe more anti-tobacco messages. So that would be worth looking into. As with any studies, our study has several strengths and limitations. We did look at Asian American subgroups, especially South Asians. However, South Asians themselves are a diverse group. They include India, Pakistan, Bangladesh, Nepal, Maldives, and we did not look at such subgroups. Future studies looking at specific subgroups among South Asians are needed. While we can generalize the results to California because these are population weight and therefore weighted data, we cannot generalize to outside of California, and that is a limitation of the study. The cross-sectional study means there's no causal or temporal relationship. We cannot say that. It's one point in time. We did not do the study among females, and because there was low smoking prevalence, and that could be because of recall bias or especially social desirability bias, as these are self-reported data. Also, the proxy measures we used are limited. It was specifically country of birth and English language proficiency. That does not take into account every domain of acculturation, specifically the Auburn model of acculturation. It has a predictive tool. And if we could validate the Auburn model of acculturation among Asian Americans, we can predict which direction smoking prevalence is going to go, higher or lower, depending on the country Asian Americans immigrated from. Now, this was a smaller part of my dissertation when I was a student a few months ago, so I would like to thank my previous institution, Loma Linda University, and my committee members, Dr. Herring, Helen Hock, Marshak, and Banta, and also, I see a fellow Loma Linda, and also my current institution where I'm working at this moment, and we're continuing the study further to really look at, among immigrant Asian Americans, how does smoking cessation really change based on the number of years if you've lived in here or not. I think that's it. I think I've run pretty fast.
There's time for questions.
Yeah.
So, great job on really looking at the important phenomenon of subgroups. You mentioned yourself that for South Asians, specifically, that the language proxy is not a good one because most, at least in India, most higher level education is done in English media, right? So, irrespective of whether or not the culture is probably going to be English media. So, really, the only other thing you can have is foreign-born versus Indian. So, would there be any other measure, in the argument I would make, instead of years of life, maybe percent of life in the U.S.,
Yes.
Different for a 10-year-old versus a...
Absolutely. There was a variable in California Health Interview Survey that asked for percent in life. Several reasons why we didn't include those were because of strong multicollinearity between the variables, especially with country of birth, almost everything was. But one of them, I believe it was your study, could be someone else, that really looked into ethnic identity and whether developing an ethnic identity, having a scale would be more appropriate. Who do you really identify with? And there have been similar studies in other cultures as well. What language you speak with your friends, what language you watch TV in, and that would be worth looking into. For CHIST, they did not ask those questions for every single participant, only a small scale, so we couldn't really reuse those proxy measures, but absolutely need to worth looking into.
And the second thing, I think for South Asians, especially in California, you're not going to find high school prevalence no matter what you do. That being said, we've noticed in national data that among Asian subgroups that report low cigarettes, current smoke, because you said 30 days plus current smoke, the prevalence of intermittent and light smoking has gone exponentially up. So people
okay.
who smoke every other day, or social smoke, they report themselves as non-smokers. And if you look at how many cigarettes they smoke, they have 80%. So, and that's a new pattern within just a tobacco control research. So if they're expanding, and they have the data reaches, so
okay.
smoke for some, that might be something.
Definitely, yeah. Thank you. Yes.
Did you have any more information on the age and smoking by age, or were you surprised?
I was surprised in that most of our population, I didn't put the basic demographic data, except for South Asians were about 50 plus, about 50 to 55. South Asians were the youngest, about in the low 40s. So I was surprised that with age we did notice it. Now we did check for interactions and stuff, and there really wasn't. And it's possible the longer you've lived here, you have more chronic diseases simply because you're older, and that could serve as a cue to action why there was lower smoking prevalence.
Yeah.
But that would be good to look into just among 65 years of age, just immigration status really changed. That would be worth looking into. Yes?
I just have always been, and it may be old data, but I'm thinking that in Japan, smoking prevalence is much higher than many other Asian countries and also in the U.S., certainly since we've had them. And I was kind of wondering how that, depending upon when the Japanese American had, who was born over there and
I think the Nihon San study was done several while ago, decades ago, that really looked at whether even Japanese men in California and Hawaii, and they sure noticed. The Auburn model would be perfect for this. What that really does is says, depending on the country you immigrated in, so if I immigrated from India, which I did, and smoking prevalence is very high, then you move to the United States where the prevalence is low, you're going to adapt to the low. So the model really predicts where you're coming from based on your gender, which direction would it be. In this study population, we could not test it because really due to low sample size, because the model divides it up as yes or no. There's no in-between bi-culture, which is a limitation. Would be worth looking into, and I think that model could really provide a predictive tool for public health professionals. It could be tested in a larger sample.
Yeah.